Baby, you are gonna go broke showing turkeys like these.
It's turkey time. Gobble, gobble.
Turkey's here now. Great new day sensation. Light and free now. To elevation. Enough is never enough. Enough is never enough of the stuff.
The stuff. The taste that makes you hungry for more. The stuff. Taste that delivers.
We interrupt this presentation with the following urgent message.
Tonight, America is in grave danger. We are under alien attack by a popular dessert known as the stuff.
Here, Jason, take some.
No! Don't eat that. There is something alive in there.
Tasty!
There's something alive in yogurt. It's called benign bacteria.
If the stuff is in your house, do not eat it. If you have it on your shelves, do not sell it. If you distribute this material, close your doors, make no more sales.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Let's Talk Turkeys. I'm your host, Movie Miss, and we are going to jump right back into our episode for The Stuff. This is part two, and when we were last here, Mo had decided he was going to join at the factory in search of proof, whatever that is supposed to mean. And then he saw in the newspaper a story about the kid who went crazy in a supermarket, and that was little Jason. So he was going to go pay him a visit and then meet Miss Kendall at the airport. So that is where we are at. So let's jump right back in and wrap up the stuff. So we cut to the kid, Jason, in his bedroom, and a commercial for the stuff comes on. He then hears a news report about entire missing families, and it's a growing epidemic. I'm assuming that the stuff just kills you, but why would you be missing? Your body would be there. So I was confused by that now too. I'm like, what?
If it's eating the stuff that's inside of them, maybe it's like after a while, the body starts to kind of disintegrate or something.
I don't know.
There's that. Or maybe it takes them somewhere.
We're left to speculate because you know why? The script doesn't tell us.
Yes, but the best movies have you make it up in your mind.
Hey, freak, what do you want anyway?
So the kid goes downstairs and sees his older brother playing a video game with I'm looking at it, it's a white console. So I'm thinking maybe it's ColecoVision or Activision. And I got all nostalgic.
I found some notes online about that. And apparently they said Jason's older brother was playing Zaxxon. I don't know that game.
Okay.
But they said if you listen to it, the sound effects are actually from Joust.
Oh, how funny. Shocker, this movie would get that wrong and do that. Yeah. Wow.
It is. It's a shock because this up until this point, this movie, everything made sense. The acting is on point. This is just, but then this one part of the movie hits and I'm like, no, fuck it. I'm done.
I'm out. He sees that all their regular food is in the trash and they have lots of buckets of the stuff and they're all sitting around eating it. So Jason refuses to eat it and he says it's alive. Dad has a comeback that yogurt is alive. It has benign bacteria and that's alive. Oh my God. That's twice we get benign bacteria in this movie too.
That's true. I mean, if only they could have done it a little bit more often, then we could have had another hypothalamus, but the yogurt line just, I was like, oh my fucking God, really?
So the kid runs off and Dad tells the older brother, go get him. Very menacing. He does. He goes and grabs Jason. They give him a small tub of the stuff and they send him off to his room and tell him he has to stay there until he eats it all. So what does he do? He goes to the bathroom, flushes it all down the toilet, and it bubbles up and is sticking to the toilet. It's so gross.
That was one scene that actually did gross me out, was having it come back up, because I mean, I've had flashbacks at gas stations and stuff like that happening. So,
oh, TMI, bro. That's disgusting. So I was laughing at the scene in the bathroom because this is clearly supposed to be the boys' bathroom that they share because there's a Motley Crue poster on the wall in their bathroom.
Which is like, who the fuck puts up a poster? I mean, like, in the bathroom. Like, that's,
you know, you're in the tub, you're taking a shit. What do you want to do? You want to look over and enjoy Motley Crue's beautiful hair. I mean, that's a natural when you're a young boy.
Yeah, like, I kind of wonder, is that going to be like one of those Hanson situations where, like, how many kids, like, rubbed one out to Motley Crue not knowing it was a guy?
That's kind of the thought I had. I'm like, wow, they're so pretty. So the kid fills the container now with shaving cream from the cabinet, and he starts eating it. And I laughed so much when he came downstairs, and here's Big Brother with these old paper, blue and red 3D glasses on his face, and he's reading a book that says Amazing 3D. And then on the spine, it says Photos, Movies, Comics. What book is this?
I mean, there are 3D comics out there. I've seen that, but I yeah, like a book that's going to have everything. I would be really curious to find that book. Like, if anyone out there listening to this knows what the fuck this book is, contact us, because I really want to see this book now.
I know. I have to know. I've got a ton of those glasses. So Jason goes to the table with his family, and they're all eating the stuff. No other food, just the stuff. After a few bites, he puts down his tub of shaving cream because he just can't take another bite, and he runs out of the house. The dad tastes it and sees that it's shaving cream, and then they all go out running after him. It's super bizarre. It almost reminded me of Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah, I can see a lot of influence from that.
Yes, like once they're possessed, their brain is taken over or whatever by this stuff, then they're acting like pod people almost. It's kind of similar. So Mo comes barreling up, Jason hops in his car, and they speed off.
Because you just naturally trust someone who just pops in the car, like, hey, get in the car. Like, okay, whatever.
Right, right. The kid supposedly pukes in the back seat. We don't see it, but he says he did. Apparently, it's fine because Mo is all smiles. The kid is all smiles. It's fine that you puked in my car. So they arrive at this private plane where Miss Kendall is waiting for them. I'm guessing kidnapping in the state of New York is okay as long as your parents are on the stuff. It's perfectly fine to take a small child on a plane.
Nobody at this point is obviously calling the cops on any of the shit that happened. That's like, there's so much illegal activity that's happened up to this point that you think the cops would have shown up and be like, this seems a little suspicious.
Little bit sus. Yeah.
And I gotta go back. We skipped over another line that's just like, what the fuck? When Mo tells the kids, like, well, everybody has to eat shaving cream once in a while. What the fuck?
Wait, when was that?
Yeah, like in the car when he's like, yeah, I was eating shaving cream. And Mo's like, well, everybody has to eat shaving cream once in a while.
Okay. I didn't write that down. I must have missed it.
Most of my fucking notes are lines from this movie.
So next stop for them is Georgia, where the people distribute the stuff, own a bunch of mines and quarries. So now I'm putting two and two together at this point. This is where stuff is bubbling up out of the ground, apparently. So Mo gets off the plane and he tells the pilot, keep the kid entertained when he wakes up. And if we aren't back in 3 hours, take the kid to the Savannah airport and await instructions. What? They're in Georgia at an airport. Why can't he just wait there for 3 hours? Why does he have to then take the kid over to Savannah? What?
Because they are in the same town that the stuff factory is. So he's figuring, well, Savannah, Georgia will be more safe because the stuff factory is not there.
I don't know. It's just, I shouldn't be questioning all this, but I just have to.
I'm here to be the person that's trying to make sense of the movie for you. And even I'm struggling on this one. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
So they take off in a limo with two men that apparently work for the distribution company, and they're going to go to the factory. Then we cut to the plane. And then, the factory scene, when they walk into the factory, this is probably where Mira Sorvino is, I'm guessing.
I would assume so, because they said factory girl or factory worker. I kind of want to go back and see if I can see her. I've never seen a young Mira Sorvino, so.
So we cut to the plane where Jason wakes up and finds that the pilot has white stuff oozing all over the place. It's sort of unclear what's happening because we don't get good shots of it. We just see a shot of the post office guy from earlier, opens the window to the cockpit area and puts some white stuff on the pilot or something. We're not quite sure. It's a big oozing blob all of a sudden. I don't know how that happens, but that guy's there. He's doing something.
I really wonder how many people are going to be listening to this and being like, are you sure this isn't a porno movie?
So Jason slips out a little hatch in the back of the plane and runs off the runway and into the woods, just disappears. Inside the factory, Mo is taking pictures as they tour. And then we cut back to little Jason finding a big cave to hide in. This was a random shot. Like, what? Then we go back to the factory. Mo gets told not to take pictures, but he keeps taking them anyway. Cocky bastard that he is.
I love the way that he did it too. It's like he took a picture of the person telling him not to take pictures. That is the kind of dick move I would do. So apparently people named David are just natural dicks.
And cocky.
Yes. Oh, I am so cocky.
So we cut to little Jason now at a factory slash mining facility situation, and it says closed on the sign. The kid hides on the top of a tanker truck and watches men wander around. So clearly it's not shut down. It's a secret operation happening here. He hops inside of an empty tanker, and then a man closes the lid, locking him in. Not smart. Not a good hiding place.
Well, up until this point, has this kid done anything that has been smart?
So the factory worker tells Mo and Ms. Kendall that they got them a motel. So cut to the limo at night. We get voiceover of Mo saying, you have to eat a lot of it before it starts taking over your mind. And I guess some people are more susceptible than others. You figure that out all by yourself there, Chief? Like, what is he basing that on exactly?
He Googled it.
He's making a lot of assumptions, but again, confident in those assumptions.
That's the secret. If you can be confident, you can get away with anything.
So at check-in now at the motel, he's saying that he is sure Lil Jason must be in Savannah by now, because I guess 3 hours have passed. What? Take him to the Savannah airport and wait for their instructions. And all he's saying when they get to this motel is, well, I guess he's in Savannah. Time for bed. What? Who's taking care of this child? This child you kidnapped?
Well, I mean, if you kidnap the child, who gives a shit, right? I mean, it's not your kid. Why do you care?
So Mo makes sure to tell them we need 2 rooms. And then we cut to them in bed together. And she's fast asleep and he's laying there with the TV on. And he's also looking at a file of paperwork. Why did they have to have 2 rooms? Yeah. What was that about? They're in bed together anyway. So the TV plays a commercial. This was so funny to me. This was the part of the movie that I really liked. They play a commercial for Andre's exclusive continental restaurant featuring Miss Clara Peller, famous for the Wendy's commercials, Where's the Beef? And she goes, where's the stuff? Oh my God, I paused it and I was cackling.
How's the food, sweetheart? That's nice.
Where's the stuff?
The stuff is here now. Great new day sensation. Light and free now. Up to elevation. Enough is never enough. Enough is never enough of the stuff.
The stuff, the taste that makes you hungry for more. The stuff, taste that delivers.
I have to go back and watch it. I don't know why I missed that. I don't know like what I was doing that made me miss that moment, but I regret missing it because I fucking loved those Where's the Beef commercials.
Yeah, I remember them. And it was an ad campaign, 84, 85. I was definitely watching TV. But apparently that lady, Clara Peller, her last commercial was a Prego meat sauce commercial. And she goes, I found it. Meaning she's been looking for beef all these years. Yeah, she found the beef. So that was just a huge, fun, bright spot for me. I was like, oh, okay. It's worth it. Sitting through this was worth it.
No, I want to go back and see that again because that part would have been really great. I mean, I found other things that made this movie enjoyable for me, so I'm okay.
So then this commercial morphs into the standard stuff commercial and Mo dozes off. This is the room that you said was the spinning Nightmare on Elm Street room.
Yes.
Totally makes sense because they do some crazy stuff, because there's a shot, and I wondered how they pulled it off because the special effects of this movie are not good. The two of them wake up because a pillow rips open and white stuff shoots out all over the bed, similar to the blood shooting out in the Johnny Depp scene. She jumps off the bed, but Mo gets one of those firm, weird, goopy, plastic-looking the stuff things on his face, which reminded me of the face huggers from Alien.
Oh, it kind of did.
And it forces him off the bed. He's wrestling with it and rolls off the bed. And then we get shots of the stuff hitting the wall and running up the wall, like oozing up to make this big pool up in the corner. That is clearly what they did, used the tilting room to their advantage to dump the stuff out. And then you turn, you know, the room turns, so it works. It totally makes sense now that you say that, that's what they did.
I'm assuming this is one of the scenes where the majority of the budget went doing this scene, because it had to have been pretty expensive.
Oh, I'm sure a lot of their budget went to securing this stage. So this is okay. So this was really cool seeing this shot. However, the moment is ruined for me when Miss Kendall's bright idea is to pour lantern oil on his face, on top of this thing on his face, and light it on fire.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell is this? Like, you're gonna burn, like, one, you're gonna light the entire fucking room on fire. Two, you're going to kill him. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, after the room catches on fire, it only takes a few seconds before Mo is able to throw that blob thing off his face. And I'm just dying at this point. I'm like, are you serious? How is he perfectly fine? He was lit on fire.
I was dying the entire scene just because I've checked out of the movie at this point, and my smart ass is just comment after comment after comment. I'm like in Mystery Science Theater mode, just laughing at this movie and making smart ass comments. And the moment the stuff comes out of the pillow and starts shooting all over the place, I'm like, oh my God, it's like, you know, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man just jacked off in the fucking room or something.
That is what it looks like. And it's so much that would have to be when he was giant.
Oh, exactly.
So this was weird too. A man, clearly of nefarious nature, just happens to be right there at their room and comes in to their room and attacks Mo. What is this guy doing? Why is he just happened to be there? Like, unclear. He gets pinned against the wall by a giant flooding spray of the stuff. That's what you get for being a henchman. So the man gets taken up into the corner and wrapped up like a cocoon. And that, to me, again, is a good use of this room, this soundstage they have with this setup. Mo says, that was clearly meant for us. Gee, you think? Came out of your fucking pillow. So he grabs more lantern oil and lights the bed on fire. The stuff drops the man, moves around the room while on fire. The pair run outside. Mo says, get in that truck, I'll hotwire it. Very confident in his abilities once again. I feel like this was a situation where they kind of weren't getting to make the movie they wanted to make. And so they were like, fuck it, let's just fly by the seat of our pants. Yeah, they run outside, they hop in a truck, they hotwire it. There we go. Let's voice over everything. It's just so silly.
I could almost imagine that being the case. And then at some point, they're just like, we're just going to write the script as we go.
Yeah. They take off in this old Chevy and they're fleeing the scene. And she says to him, I think we're in a stolen truck where we don't want to get arrested. Like, what if we get pulled over? And he's like, oh, well, we'll just tell them someone tried to kill us. That'll make it okay that you've kidnapped a child, stolen a vehicle. It's fine. So then Mo says, we're going to go back to the factory. They're in their pajamas. He was just on fire. And they're going to go back to the factory now. Okay.
Because he is a true action hero. And he is not going to stop until he defeats the stuff. Oh, he's on par with, you've got Rambo. You've got John McClane. You've got whatever the fuck the guy's name is in Commando. And now you've got Mo.
Wash your mouth out with soap right now, sir. How dare you put them in the same category.
Do you mean wash my mouth out with stuff?
You want to be a stuffy so bad.
I'm not going to lie. It's kind of hot.
So all the tankers now, including the one with Jason stowed away inside, they leave the facility. Mo sees this and decides to follow. They wind up at a giant lake of bubbling white goo at the quarry. The trucks begin to use hoses to fill their tanks with the stuff. Mo and Miss Kendall see this, and they say that the only way to prove what's happening is if they steal one of the trucks. What? How does that prove anything?
I have no fucking idea. I mean,
you have a truck full of product.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not even, there's product all over the city. Why is it so? So, like, you bring a truck of the stuff and you assume automatically it's going to act crazy. Like, it's not going to, like, does it have to go through some kind of process and be whipped for it to be tamed? I mean, none of this movie makes any sense.
I think you're right. I think they just wrote a lot of it on the fly as they went, because that makes no sense at all. So at this point, they're fully dressed, by the way. He's got shirt, slacks, a belt, the whole nine. She's in a dress with high heels. What?
Now, I know how much this annoys you, because I remember from Mortal Kombat that you have this like pet peeve of clothing. If clothing does not match in every single scene, it's going to drive you insane.
Yeah, where did they get this stuff? They were in their fucking PJs and ran out of the room empty-handed.
24-hour Kmart.
Oh, I miss Kmart.
I do too.
So he pulls out a knapsack with a yellow suit, exactly like the one that the stuff employees are wearing, so he can disguise himself. He straps something to his ankle over his boots. And at first, when you're first watching this, you're like, what are these? He tells Miss Kendall, go take the truck and meet me at Route 5 near the parkway. Okay. She tells him he's cute and they kiss, and then he takes off. This bitch has low to no standards. If this man is her bag, no. You can do better, honey.
Hey, it's the confidence, okay? This smiling face does not get the girls. It's the confidence that gets the girls.
Okay, got it. So then we find out these are probably explosives, because we see Mo on a ledge above the pit in the quarry and he's sticking them to the wall. So I'm like, okay, that's the plan. We're going to blow this shit up. Where he got that stuff, unclear.
The explosive aisle at Kmart.
He then moseys right down into the pit. One guy follows him, though, around the truck because he looks suspicious, I guess, and he knocks him out.
Now, I absolutely love that scene because of the fact that how many fucking movies do you see where they put on a disguise and blend in? Like, you work with these people day in and day out, and then, you know, suddenly Sylvester Stallone shows up in a costume and you're like, oh, okay, I know that guy. I've seen him every day. I love the fact that this guy, like, wait a second, I've never seen you before. I'm going to follow you because this seems fucking suspicious.
That actually tracks, yeah. Those scenes to me are funny in work when it's, he doesn't already have the disguise. If he would have been standing there and the guy with the yellow suit was like, what are you doing? And then he pulls him behind the corner and punches him and then comes out in the yellow suit himself, you know, like that kind of stuff makes me laugh, but he was already in the suit. So like, what was the fucking point of that?
I didn't make any sense. I just love the fact that the guy noticed that there was somebody suspicious. It's like, even in the work outfit, you know the people you work with. This guy wasn't one of them.
So the truck with Jason in it starts to fill up with the stuff, and the special effects, the visual effects in this tanker scene that happens for a while now, it reminded me so much of the TV show Land of the Lost. Like, that's the level of special effects. This was terrible, terrible graphics.
I've never seen Land of the Lost. I know of it, but it was never showing at any place where I could see it.
You're missing out. It's a treat.
Knowing what I know about it, that is an insult to this movie.
So Jason starts yelling and Mo hears him. And instead of being shocked by like, oh my God, you're in this tanker. You're supposed to be in Savannah. No, we don't get any of that. He's completely cool as a cucumber. And he goes, don't worry, Jason, I'll get you out of there. Why is he not shocked that this child is here in a tanker truck? What?
Because he's Mo.
That's the answer. Just, he's Mo.
You just got to go with the Mo.
You're so stupid. Oh my God, that works for everything.
It's like the bit in Super Troopers with the get out of the car, right meow. Did you say meow? Right meow.
Oh, I fucking love that scene.
So he punches another two guys out and steals the truck, sets off the explosives remotely, and they're so tiny, but it manages to take down this entire side of the wall of the quarry and cover the pile of stuff with rocks.
It's because it's not the size of the explosive that matters. It's how do you use it?
So back at the truck, Miss Kendall is opening the door to get in. She's just now getting in to take off and meet him. The same post office guy who attacked the pilot from earlier attacks her, falls to the ground. His legs get run the fuck over by the tanker truck that Mo is driving. His body not crushed. We see him lying there after he gets run over, and his head implodes and white stuff is all over the place.
I like that scene, but I really wanted it to go a different way. I wanted it to be one of those things where they run him over, and the second they run him over, you see the mouth open up and the stuff just shoots out like from a fucking super soaker or something.
Well, he oozes, the guy. Mo grabs her and they get out of the way. Now he's just right there where the truck is. She wasn't where she was supposed to be. So I was like, okay, that didn't make any sense, but whatever. He climbs the tank, pulls Jason out, and closes the hatch just in time before the stuff can get him. So they get pulled over as they're driving now in this truck by a cop. The hose is dragging on the ground behind them, making sparks. So, of course, the cop's going to pull them over and be like, what the hell? Mo says they control the police because they're all stuffies. All of them are stuffies. So the cop comes over and says, your hose is out. Get out of the truck. Indecent exposure. No.
That's literally the fucking line that I wrote down with the, are you going to arrest me for indecent exposure?
They all climb out. Miss Kendall notices the cop is probably a stuffy, and she sees white stuff coming out of the hose on the ground. So she goes, oh, I'm hungry, and acts like she's going to go over and eat the stuff. And she persuades the officer that he needs to come over and start eating some. So Mo runs up and grabs the officer like he's going to tackle him. And all of a sudden, we get an abrupt cut. Again, no scene going to like a natural fade out conclusion. It just is an abrupt cut. I'm assuming they tussle and we just didn't get to see it.
I kind of wonder, was that one of those, like now that I know what I know about this movie, it would be fun to go back and watch it again to find out, okay, what was maybe a comedy scene that was cut out? And what was a horror scene that might have been cut out? Because I kind of feel like this would have been a horror scene.
Oh, for sure.
Hey, all you pod people. I'm Chris.
And I'm Liz.
And this is The Universe Unhinged. Join us each week and we'll share with you some of the odd, mysterious, and bizarre stories that we come across in the news. Alien sightings.
Mysterious black liquid falling from the sky.
Robot spy chicken.
5G network.
And anything else strange and unusual. If you're like us and on the verge of being unhinged by the unexplained events of our time, then check us out wherever you get your podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Truly Unique Jewelry. You're a one of a kind, so it's unique, spelled Younique. With all of the jewelry options mass-produced for each season, you're left wanting more when it comes to pieces that showcase your individual style. Head over to trulyuniquejewelry.com and scroll through handmade one-of-a-kind options for every budget, with pieces starting under a dollar. Beautiful costume jewelry to fit every age and every budget. Custom orders are also available for no additional charge, and they flat rate ship so you can fill your jewelry box with matching pieces for every outfit in your closet for one shipping fee. From earrings to bracelets to necklaces, even rosaries and combination sets. Cost is no longer a barrier to having the looks that you want that scream uniquely you. Go to the Facebook page for Truly Unique Jewelry for updates and discount information when you follow the page. Feel good about supporting a small business while you're updating and expanding your jewelry collection, adding pieces for every occasion. Visit trulyuniquejewelry.com. And remember, it's unique spelled Younique. And now, back to the show.
So we cut to the three of them now in the truck, and Mo saying that they're going to keep driving until they hit a big city because it's less likely to be controlled. It's logical, actually.
Wait, did you actually give Mo credit for a thought?
That was logical, yes. He gets one.
Holy shit. Everybody gets one.
He gets one. So next they roll up to a forested area and what looks like a bit of a castle. And even little Jason comments, why are we at a castle? Or something like that. Mo says he knows everything about the man who lives here, but the man doesn't know him. So Mo walks up the road. He's stopped by a large amount of men in camo gear with weapons. He says he's reporting to Colonel Spears. This movie just takes bizarre. The plot is so crazy. This is the most bizarre twist.
I gotta be honest, I wasn't sure that there was a plot to this movie.
So up in a tower now, Mo tells Colonel Spears, and this is Paul Sorvino being fucking amazing. He's acting, to me, his acting is like he's in a completely different movie. Like he's in a Rambo movie.
There's a couple people in this movie that made this movie for me, and it was Paul Sorvino, Garrett Morris, and Michael Moriarty, just because I feel like he wasn't taking this movie seriously. Like he's like, I don't know what the fuck this is. And he nailed it.
So he's telling Colonel Spears the FBI let him go. He did a job that incriminated Spears in a scandal. And we kind of get the feeling that Colonel Spears is a bit of an extremist nut as well. And he explains to Spears mind control that you've always feared from Russia is happening now, but it's from the stuff. And it's less than 100 miles from here. So this scene, I didn't write down all the stuff that is said, but it's clear that Colonel Spears has a thing about Russians because he keeps calling everybody commies.
He plays like the stereotypical macho American soldier.
Yeah. So we cut to Spears and Mo coming down the stairs. And this is where we get another one of those weird ass voiceover things that I was telling you is bugging me. We see Miss Kendall standing there and she's going to greet them coming down the stairs. We hear voiceover of Mo saying she's familiar with the plant. She's been inside. She can guide us. She can ride up with me. All of this gets said by Mo as they're turning the stairs there to come down, right? If you watch his mouth, it doesn't move at all. He does not open his mouth. And you can really see his face. It's really egregious in this scene. It just bugs me. It's like they had to work it in. So who cares if his mouth isn't moving? Nobody will notice. Wrong. I notice.
I don't know.
So we can assume that they have made a plan because we don't get to see that scene where Colonel Spears assumes Mo is going to undoubtedly be a casualty because we next see the truck roll up to the gates of the facility. The guy from the little office there comes out to greet the driver. We see that it's one of the colonel's men from back at the castle who's driving this truck. He gets shot in the face by the guy in the yellow suit, and he's just shot dead. And it's like, it just grazed his face, but the shot is so quick that we can't really tell. I had to watch it like 3 times to understand that the guy pulls a gun and shoots him in the face. It's bizarre. Then somebody else shoots this guy in the yellow suit in the face, and he dies. White stuff goes everywhere. Men in camo with guns come out of nowhere. The colonel runs up and says, this was so weird. The colonel says, I kind of like the sight of blood, but this is disgusting.
That was one of...
I kind of like the sight of blood?
That was another line.
What?
I want to say from this point on, like most of the lines that came that were just like, I absolutely love them were from the colonel.
So we get patriotic style triumphant music as Mo, Miss Kendall, little Jason, and the entirety of Colonel Spears' forces make their way into the facility. On the overhead speaker, we hear a man say, attention, the main gate has been penetrated. Choices, people. The word choices.
I kind of feel like they did this on purpose. They knew what this movie was like. Unintentionally assemble for, and it's like, fuck it, we're rolling with this. This is just going to be dirty.
They say outsiders are entering the factory area. Do not resist them. Follow the agreed upon course of action. When I hear that, I'm like, what? But okay, we roll with it. So I laughed because in this scene, Colonel Spears calls the guys in the yellow suits commie bastards. His delivery of these lines is so good.
I love it. Now, to me, I thought it was hilarious when I'm watching the action of all this shit happening. I don't know why, but it just felt like this was like a half-assed A-team mission going off.
Yes. Inside, they come across a room of dead employees, and it's like, oh, okay. So that was the action, I guess. Spears puts the butt of his gun right through a guy's face, but no white stuff comes out. It's just a disintegrating, cracking situation. The kid points out the white stuff inside of them must have just taken off. Gee, you think? So Ms. Kendall and little Jason leave and they end up being chased into a room full of metal bins by a big pile of white goo, but they manage to escape out the back door. When there's a lot of white goo, use the back door. That's what I say. They get outside and the white goo busts out of the building and also out of like a giant silo container or something. And it just spills everywhere.
Well, I mean, that's common. I mean, white goo is always busting out of something and it's always spilling everywhere.
It's true. Suddenly, everyone is outside and we see Mo has Jason as they are watching the stuff go everywhere. Colonel Spears says they are just going to leave it alone and fly down to Atlanta, where he has two radio stations, and they'll broadcast a warning telling people what the stuff can do. And this was just a weird shot to me, because when he's talking about, we're going to go to my station, Miss Kendall, she's standing right next to him and he's holding her shoes and she's holding a gun. Why is he holding her shoes?
Apparently he's got a foot fetish.
So we cut to the plane ride. Colonel Spears is chatting with Miss Kendall. This cracked me up. This line makes zero fucking sense. Okay. Colonel Spears is saying 75, 80, 90% of people in this world don't like me. Never have. Okay. There's a big difference between 75 to 90. First of all, and I guarantee you 90% of this people and the people in the world don't know who the fuck you even are. This line made zero sense, but basically he's saying it because he wraps up the conversation. He's looking for her to help him change his image to the world, because that's what she does.
Well, I mean, if she can sell a tub of white killer goo to everybody, then I mean, there's no way that she can't sell, you know, Paul Sorvino to the world.
Good point. They land and they storm the taxis waiting on the runway for them. There's like, I don't know, a dozen of them. And what made me laugh was they're storming the taxis. Ah, and they're running like they're storming Omaha Beach. I'm like, calm down, y'all. You're just getting into some taxis.
When you gotta mow, you gotta mow.
So a driver asks Spears, rightly so, what is this, World War III? I laughed because I was like, yeah, he's probably going, what the fuck is happening right now? But what killed me is, as he's getting into the taxi, we hear voiceover of Spears say, no more of your liberal remarks. What? No more of your liberal remarks? The dude just asked what the fuck was going on. So six of these taxis are cruising down the highway here. Gun barrels all hanging out the windows. Did you notice that? All the guns are like visible.
It was, this whole scene was just fucking ridiculous. Like
they're passing just, like pedestrians and bicyclists with their fucking weapons brandished.
Yeah. Like this is where it makes sense that this was supposed to be a comedy, because like this is a scene out of basically a parody.
Yes. So they get to one of the radio stations and people start screaming and running away when they all get out of their taxis. Spears tells the men, this is so stupid. Why do you even have this in here? Pay the driver and make sure you issue a 10% tip and get a receipt, he says. Where the fuck do they have cash to be paying these drivers, first of all? In their camo? What is happening?
I love that line. I thought I wrote it down, but apparently I didn't. But I'm glad you brought it up. I love it because it's so fucking ridiculous. Like, why did you write this in the script to begin with? Like you said, how do they have cash just hanging out where in editing did you like, you know what, we really need to keep this scene in the movie because it's just so fucking important. The audience is going to be disappointed if they don't see this.
If they don't know that the drivers were tipped 10%. So Colonel Spears takes Jason inside, finds out how many of the affiliates will broadcast his message. He yells at the guy at the desk when he hears the stuff jingle playing on the radio. In this scene, seriously, Paul Sorvino firing on all cylinders. He is so passionate.
He's like the only one that actually took the role serious.
That's the only way to play Colonel Spears, though, honestly, is because it's hilarious because he's playing it straight.
Yeah. You've always, in any comedy, you always have to have that straight man because it makes it so much funnier. And he nailed this because he's so just fucking bizarre.
So we cut to Ms. Kendall and Mo at a typewriter, and he's telling her she shouldn't be ruining her career by telling the story in a way that makes her look like the bad guy just because she promoted the stuff. I agree with that. Logical point number two that Mo has made in this film. I'm okay with that. He's not wrong. So then Chocolate Chip Charlie shows up and yells at the storm, tell these stormtroopers to get out of my way. His hands are registered lethal weapons, he tells them.
Yeah. Yes. They're registered lethal weapons in Medford, Georgia.
So Charlie tells Mo he wants to be part of the broadcast, but the Colonel comes in with little Jason and says, don't do that. Colonel Spears says, this killed me. Fine. I will permit this colored man to speak. But if he speaks one word on the commie party line or one word of code, I will blow his head off. God,
I couldn't believe they fucking said that in the movie. I was like, what the hell?
That you choose to leave in? Seriously?
Yeah, because like, aren't we supposed to like Colonel Spears? And it, like, at the moment that happened, I was just like, oh, this guy's a dick.
Yeah, I was shocked. I paused it and I just went, wow. Out loud to nobody. I was shocked.
That caught me off guard.
So Charlie takes Ms. Kendall to a private room and grabs her neck. Okay, he's going to choke her, but his neck starts to bulge like there's this goo's going to come out of his face, right? We cut to little Jason just coming into the room, just opens the door and walks in. We get Mo's terrible, terrible face, almost as bad as the dog, puppet face.
I thought it looked kind of cool, actually, for this movie. I was like, oh, that doesn't look too bad.
So a pile of the goo comes out and is threatening Miss Kendall and Jason. So the Colonel and Mo and some other men show up and see them through a window. And then I'm like, oh, maybe they're in like a little recording studio or something. This whole thing just looks terrible. But they shoot up magically. They shoot a cable and break it up to expose the wiring. And then Mo breaks the glass and zaps the stuff with the wires, setting it on fire. Once again, made zero sense to me how this happens. And then Mo gets Jason and Miss Kendall out of the room. Were you confused by how that went down too? Like, what?
I know I say I checked out and everything, but this is the part in the movie where I started to really like, what the fuck was going on? Because it felt like we were coming to the end. And everything just got so weird and sporadic and nothing was making sense. And like, I just felt like, okay, you're not going to wrap this up in a logical or cohesive or coherent, way that we're going to walk away from this movie. Be like, all right, I like this. This made sense. You knew like this was going to end in a way you're like, what the fuck did I just watch?
So the broadcast goes on the air and the Colonel starts to tell everyone about the stuff. And did you laugh when he said what his full name was? When he goes, this is Colonel Malcolm Grommet Spears. I was like, your middle name is Grommet?
I think I kind of did because I think if I remember, I went back to it. Like, did you say Grommet? Like, because like that sounded familiar. Like I was thinking Wallace and Grommet.
Yeah, it's one of the most random names you could think of. I was dying. I was like, what? So Mo jumps in on the recording and interrupts and says, if you have it in your home, cook it. Okay. Cut to a stuff billboard burning on fire. Then we cut to Miss Kendall doing a documentary style speech saying that in the following weeks, people believed them and believed that the stuff was hurting them or whatever. and it stopped being distributed. That's pretty impressive how they manage that.
See, this is what I meant. Like the moment you got to the studio, it just started to kind of unwind and unhinge. Like up until this point, I felt like, okay, they were trying to make sense of a movie, trying to make it work. And like at the end, I felt like that's where it just half-assedness kind of like kicked in. We're not going to wrap it up. So we're just going to be like, fuck it. We're going to tack on a cheap ass ending. That's what this felt like to me.
Yeah. They cut the footage of people burning piles of the stuff all over America, supposedly. But yeah, what I didn't understand was the distribution people are going to hear maybe a local-ish to Georgia broadcast, and everybody's going to decide to stop selling it and stop making money and stop distributing it. Like, what?
Yeah.
But we hear a voiceover of a news report now saying health authorities went to the Georgia quarry to investigate and found it's all buried under a pile of rubble. I'm just going to say no to all of that and let's move on.
Wait, hold on. You're going to say no or you're going to say Mo?
Mo. So then we cut to the freestanding stuff retailer that's sort of like a Dairy Queen situation from earlier, which earlier when we saw it, it was kind of in the middle of nowhere, like nothing around it. Now when we see it, it is tucked neatly between a KFC and a McDonald's. And it explodes. Somebody blows it up.
Which was completely batshit crazy because that would have taken out the fucking McDonald's and the KFC.
Right? Pretty sure when businesses shut down, they just change the signage. They don't blow it up. So we see now the factory exploding from different angles. Clearly, they had to get their money's worth. Let's show it from every angle we can because this cost us a lot to blow this up. Then we get back to the footage of Miss Kendall talking, and she says there were thousands of casualties, sadly, but the government is compensating the families. What? Whatever. Moving on. No sense.
I hated this ending so fucking much.
So now we see a man watching her on his TV. Mo enters the room, and I swear to God, this room looked straight out of the Wayne Manor. Like, if they were to go behind that fireplace, they'd be down to the Batcave. This room was really fucking like, what? Where are they?
That would have been great. Like, now when you say that, I could just picture, like, while this meeting's going on, like, Batman coming out with, like, some coffee. Like, what the fuck's going on in here?
Yes. How'd you get in here? So, until he started talking, one of these men, I didn't realize that this was the same distributor guy from earlier that had given Mo the $25,000 check and the contract until he started talking. I was like, oh, that's the same guy?
Yeah, some of those characters, like when you got to the business people, I got confused as to who they were. Like I for a long time thought the distributor was Harry from the beginning. I was like, oh, did he suddenly get rich from like discovering this stuff and now he's the distributor?
You thought it was Harry?
I really did because I was like, the movie was so fucking confusing to me.
Well, the reason I put two and two together is because there's a throwaway line where Mo says something about, oh, he spent the money. Because the guy says something like, do I get my money back? And Mo's like, oh, I already spent it. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Which makes sense because Mo had to pay for a lot of things, as we have learned. Kidnapper ransom to Jason's parents. No.
Oh, hell no. They were long dead by this point, so.
Yeah, Jason's an orphan.
Yeah, I mean, more than likely, he probably just came back to, like, piss on their bodies and just be like, hey, fuck you guys, I'm gonna steal, take my stuff and leave now.
I'm gonna take my Motley Crue poster and I'm out of here.
I'm not done whacking off to this yet.
So the guy says, no problem, we're just gonna find more places that this stuff seeps up through the earth. So who cares that you blew up our quarry? We're going to find more places. So then bearded businessman from the yacht, the beard, shows up and says they are using 12% of the stuff in a new product called The Taste. And they're only using 12%, so it won't be as harmful or addictive as it was before. Do I smell a sequel? God, I hope not.
No, that's just the bullshit of this movie.
So Mo pulls out a gun and tells them Jason is now an orphan because of what they did. Jason comes in and puts down a box of about 30 tubs of the stuff in front of these two guys, Mo points his gun at them and says, "Eat it or he'll shoot them." And he fires off some warning shots. This ending is so stupid. You're right. I'm like, what the fuck is even going on right now? So now Mo and Jason basically are murderers, because if they don't eat it, they're going to shoot him. And if they do eat it, they're dying as a result. And Mo knows this damn well. So now he has turned Jason effectively into murderers. Good job, Mo. Shame on you.
Mo, I expect it from Jason. Like, okay, yeah, you just corrupted this child. But at the same time, I'm like, the kid was pretty dumb anyway. So he's probably going to go down this life of crime. So
Mo says, "Are you eating it or is it eating you?" I want to say this is probably the tagline for the fucking movie. I didn't look, but I bet it is.
That's where you need the drum roll with the...
Yeah. So we cut to an overhead shot, and these men are polishing off all of this stuff. Mo and Jason are getting ready to leave, and we hear sirens coming. And Jason goes, "I guess we did it, Mo." Yeah, good job, you're murderers. You did it. You didn't stop any fucking thing, right? Because they're making the taste now. So the whole thing was pointless, basically.
Yeah, but are they, though? Because you just killed the head of the team that was creating the taste. So.
Yeah, true. But there were other, I mean, there was Five Head suit, there was Glasses suit, there were other guys on that yacht that could take over.
Maybe it was going to become like a Punisher situation of like they were going to hunt them down.
So now we cut to a shady back alley transaction where a black market case of the stuff is being sold to some other shady looking characters. And then right as the guy looks excited, he looks up at the camera like, "Yeah, we got the stuff." We get an abrupt cut to black. Like, the scene just cuts. It just stops. Roll credits, the end. It's so bizarre.
The movie was batshit crazy to begin with, but then it's like the end was just, it comes at you like, what the? It feels like they didn't even have an ending for it. Like,
right?
they didn't write it out. And they just like, oh, let's just tack on this bullshit and see what happens.
All right. Do you have anything else, or should we roll to three questions?
Let's just roll the three questions. I got nothing to mow with.
All right. Question one. You, sir, find yourself in this situation. You're discovering what's really going on. You can be the Mo, the Jason, or Colonel Spears. What are you like in this situation? How do you see yourself reacting?
The reality is I'm going to be the Jason. In my mind, I want to be the Mo, because it's like, do I want to be the dumb kid who doesn't know what the fuck he's doing? He's going to eat shaving cream and follow strangers around.
Get kidnapped.
Exactly. Or am I going to be the racist dick that got dishonorably discharged for God knows what reason from the military? So you want to go with the Mo, because, you know, Mo knows.
So what do you do then if you're Mo and you come across this situation and you realize after you get hired how grave the situation is and how big? What do you do?
Okay, so does this movie exist in this reality?
Well, no, of course not. You're Mo living this reality.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to follow the basic premise of what Mo did. Because, I mean,
is that what you
Mo's
would do?
Got a hell of yeah, he's got a hell of a lifestyle. He got to meet Chocolate Chip Charlie. He got to seduce some random woman just by being so damn charming. He got to kidnap a child and get away with it and turn him into a murderer.
You just broke down this movie so fucking perfectly.
Mo is
our hero,
just,
ladies and gentlemen, Mo.
He's the amazing Mo. I mean, like, this guy can do no wrong. He's the ultimate action hero because he gets away with so much shit just by being cocky as hell.
All right. So for me, I'm the Mo in the situation, because what I'm doing is I'm taking all the money that all these suits paid me and the money, the extra 25K. And once I realize what the fuck is happening, I am moving to fucking Iceland and buying a bunch of flamethrowers. And I'm just going to hunker down and live my life rich and peaceful. That's what I'm doing. I'm not even going to try to fuck around and blow shit up and figure it out. I'm out of here. I'm taking all my money and I'm the fuck gone.
I'm not going to lie. I really want to see you be the Mo in this situation, just because I would love to see you with the bad hair, the toupee. I think that'd just be fucking hilarious.
I just feel like that makes the most sense. I'm not trying to solve this problem, because really, if you think about it, at the end of the day, he doesn't solve the problem. He doesn't really accomplish much, honestly.
No, well, especially because after everything that they did, the one thing that the ending got right was what the guy said, like, you don't think it's going to fucking come back? It's coming out of the center of the earth. They'll just find another spot for it. So, like, yeah, it's not going anywhere.
All right. Question two. Out of the movies that came along that were similar, this clearly cannot be your favorite. I'm guessing it's not mine. We have, I could only find a few. The original Blob from 58, the Blob remake from 88, a few years after this one. Phantoms from the Dean Koontz story. Loosely similar would be Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Night of the Creeps, Creepazoids, The Crazies, even Puppet Masters with Donald Sutherland. So those kinds of movies are kind of lumped in with this one whenever you look up like lists of similar horror movies. So out of this genre, these types that I just named a bunch of, what do you think your favorite is? What do you gravitate toward? What was done better than this?
I'm obviously going to go, I mean, I've seen a few of them, not a whole lot of them, because these style of movies don't typically appeal to me. I think I saw the remake of The Crazies, I think was the one
2010
I saw.
With Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad and stuff, but it was like, eh, I got to go with The Blob. Both, I love the original Blob for the cheesiness of it. And oh my God, the theme song alone for the original Blob is amazing. I mean, I could like fucking cruise down the strip rocking that song and being like, yeah, bitch, got The Blob rocking. That, because it's just it's a great movie, a great song. And the remake I thought was a lot of fun too. I thought they made it a great horror movie. It's not amazing. Like, you can tell there's a cheesiness to it, but that's the fun of it.
Honestly, the special effects in the Blob remake are a tad bit better than the effects in this movie and the stuff.
Oh, yeah, easy, by far. I like the horror element, too, because I kind of feel like the stuff could have been the Blob before the Blob remake if they would have went horror vibe.
Yeah, but damn it, Larry Cohen wanted to stick to his comedy guns.
Yeah, but thank God he did, and we got the amazing movie that is the stuff. Yeah, like I said, you couldn't see the eye roll, but like they rolled hard.
So I'm with you. Blob remake for sure is up there. Night of the Creeps is fun. Slither is on this list. That's fun. I like all the iterations of body snatcher type stuff.
Slither was a good movie. I did like that one.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of good ones on this list, but yeah, Blob remake for me, if I'm picking something like from close to the same time, it's only a couple years after this and it's far superior.
It's such a fun movie. I mean, like, if anyone's going to decide what you want to watch the stuff at the Blob, you got to go with the Blob.
Oh, totally. All right. Question three. Does the stuff need a remake, or is this story just too hokey? Like, should they just leave it alone, or do you think this could do with some 2023 treatment?
I actually would like to see a remake. You have to make the decision before you make it. Do you go full comedy, which again would work? There's enough great comedy directors out there that can do a good parody and make this a hella funny movie. And if you go horror, again, like I said, you saw what The Blob did, and that could have been where you went with this.
Yeah.
So either way, yes, I would love to see a remake of this movie.
Honestly, I'm with you. I feel like even though people want to, you know, online, I hear people petitioning all the time to remake The Blob yet again. It was done well for 88. It's impressive. I think we need to do the stuff for sure. I think we should remake it. I don't think we should do The Blob again. I think we should tackle something like this.
To me, I fully support remakes. But let's go back and remake the shitty movies. Let's give those movies a chance to shine. Like Mitchell. Let's bring Mitchell back and make it an actual good movie. I would love to see shit like that happen, because there's so many bad movies that could have been really cool. Yeah,
I agree. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to end our coverage of The Stuff. If anyone out there is interested in checking it out, it's currently, at the time of this recording, free on Tubi, free on Pluto TV, or pay streaming on Amazon Prime. I want to thank you for joining me today, sir. And thank you, Viggy Parhampton from Horror Humor Hunger, for throwing this one on the radar. I'm actually glad we covered it, because it was quite a bit of fun.
I had a lot of fun watching this movie. I'm going to give it so much shit, but I actually really enjoyed this movie for the stupidity of it.
And we want to thank all of you for listening. Please listen for the tag at the end with all of our socials. We want to know what you thought of The Stuff, and we would love suggestions from you all on what you would like us to cover, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show. So on that note, we will see you all next time. Goodbye.
And remember, no one is as dumb as I appear.
And the people did believe. In the weeks that followed, the stuff was withdrawn from distribution, and the nation mobilized to collect it and destroy it.
Hey, freak, what do you want anyway?
Hey, listeners, Drive-In Dave here saying we know you have a lot of options when it comes to podcasts, so we want to thank you so much for listening to ours. Please be sure to follow us on all your social media platforms. Join us in the Bad Movie Conversation. We're on Facebook with a Let's Talk Turkeys page, as well as a discussion group where you can chat with other people who also love bad movies. We're also on Instagram at Let's Talk Turkeys, all one word. Plus, we're on Twitter with the handle at Gobble Podcast. That's GOBBLEPODCAST. And of course, you can always email us direct at letstalkturkeys, all one word, at yahoo.com.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.